I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Everybody, Richard Bliss Brook here for yet another Road to Diamond interview. And today's interview is going to go down as a landmark interview because we're talking to an original, like one of the original 12 disciples, Kathy Farmer from Golden, Colorado, Royal Crown Diamond, who was there at the beginning. Say hi, Kathy.
Hi, everybody. Excited to be sharing this time with us.
We're going to tell some stories. Well, you're going to tell some stories here. So let's get right into it, Kathy. Question I always ask everybody to get started is, who were you, where were you, and what were you doing before you ever heard of Young Living? And then we'll get into how you heard and how you got involved.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, when I first heard about Young Living, I was a person with many hats, you could say. I was working with advanced cancer patients, writing nutritional programs as a master herbalist. And so I was getting the ones that the doctors had given up on. So it was pretty exciting to get involved with that. So I knew a little bit of background as far as herbs went. And then the other thing I was doing was teaching meditation. I was teaching meditation for a company called Silva Mind Control. And no, we were not learning how to control other people's minds, although I'm sure some people wish they could do that. But no, we were learning how to control our own mind, our own thoughts, et cetera. And so out of that, I had developed some assorted things on goal setting and visualization. And I was doing, some people call them storyboards. I call them treasure maps, where we cut out assorted things. And I actually, about 6 months before Young Living, I had done a treasure map that at some point or another, maybe I'll even share the actual treasure map. But in looking at this treasure map, you cut out pictures and words and stuff, and you create the things that you desire, and then you let your inner being kind of see it casually, and so it kind of reinforces your goals. Well, I had been looking for the word destiny, that Kathy Farmer creates her own destiny. I thought that was really good. Well, I was looking for that word, couldn't find the word, but I found the word dynasty. You know, at the time, I knew nothing. Kathy Farmer creates a dynasty. And with over 300,000 distributors around the world, dynasty is it. It's pretty darn good.
Destiny and dynasty.
And in that treasure map, it even says that I introduced the greatest discovery, breakthrough discovery, a million hugs daily, you know, helping all humanity. And it is what Young Living is, because it helps all humanity, whether people are looking for something for health or the even the business side of things, or so that they feel better when it's a day that they don't feel so great. Because sometimes we get out of bed and we don't feel like doing much. And it's nice to be able to grab an oil so that we, yeah, I can do it. I can find those inner resources and I can do it. And so those were the two biggest things. And at that particular time, too, I had a daughter, beautiful daughter, who was then 13, and she started having emotional problems. In fact, police were at my door the same day that they came out with her diagnosis of bipolar. Because you see, she was 5'10 at the time, and some little 4'10 girl slugged her in the stomach, and Ray slugged back. And not too good, but it was at that time for so I was looking for things that could somehow reach her. And at the time frame that I found the oils, we found that she just totally loved the oil blend of joy. And so we started running that for her, and she when they were able to release her from the hospital with all these assorted things that we did, where we better differently and so on. To this day, she still wears Joy all the time. And her two sons, when they were babies, if they were restless, I'd put on a little Joy and they'd calm down for me. So it was very, very significant time in my life. And then I started seeing what the oils and the products could do. And I was very excited. I wanted to share it with everyone. Well, I didn't know a whole lot.
Tell us, Kathy, how you got introduced. Who introduced you and how did you get introduced?
Oh, I went to a trade show and I collected all kinds of assorted stuff from different people. And one, there was a person there that I was involved with within a different company, and she gave me some information. In fact, she gave me a business card. She put a drop of Thieves on it. And 3 days later, yeah, Thieves is the one. 3 days later, I'm going through the stuff because I'm totally aware that I want to learn everything. And if I stop at each and every booth and talk at length, I'm not going to. So I look at stuff afterwards. And so I'm flipping through things. And you know that drop of Thieves still smelled? And
it was like,
yeah, I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Called her up, got signed up, ordered a bottle of Clarity. That was the first bottle I ordered. That was October 31st, 1993.
Well, okay, stop there. How old was the company?
Well, it wasn't born yet. No, I mean, it was under a different name. But yeah, the current company was not born yet.
Okay, so Young Living, the network marketing company, was not born yet.
The other one was network marketing. It was Young Living Incorporated, then it went to Young Living Essential Oils Incorporated.
Okay, got it. So, all right. So this is...
We were not official yet. Let's put it that way.
Launch.
and so at that particular time frame, I called up a friend of mine. It happened to be a friend that knew a lot of people in holistic health. And she was also one that knew a lot of the lectures that I used to bring in to teach my people. You see, I taught both on the holistic health side, and I also taught on the meditation side. And so I brought in people from all over the world to teach a class. And I had like about 1,200 people on my mailing list. It wasn't huge, but I had that little group. And I called her up right away and I said, I think you need to get involved in this. I know you, and I know how much you love anything that will improve health as well as across the board. And she said, of course. She got signed up the same day I did. I did a class for, I think, 13 people. And I did that because I took that mailing list and I sent out letters to about 50 people. I picked 50 that came to a lot of my classes. And 13 signed up for that class. I called the class Energy. And I talked about all kinds of things, not just Young Living. I just talked about all kinds of things. But at the very end, I said, and now I want to share what I think is the most powerful thing that you can do for your health on all levels. And I introduced essential oils. All 13 signed up because, of course, that was my intention. Mm-hmm. I'm very big on you have to set your intention before you do anything. You have to be mindful of what you want. You have to have everything ready to go. If you're not ready to sign those people up, how do you expect them to do it? And so all 13 signed up. And for the next 2 years, I didn't sign up anybody else directly underneath me. I just built under them.
Wow.
And that is also one of, you could say, my secrets, so to speak. I did 10 introductory lectures every month that were open to the public, which means that I had to have a calendar out there that everybody could see. I made it easy, though, because I did sign up a little health food store. And I did a class Thursday afternoons and Thursday evenings there. And anybody that came off the street, they were hers. And then my other people could come and ask questions and bring people and so on. And then I only had to find two other venues every month. And that worked out really well. I probably usually had maybe another 6 or 7 classes that I would do for people in their homes that we couldn't invite the public.
So you were averaging about 4 classes a week.
Probably at least 15 or so.
15 a month.
A month, yeah.
So yeah, 4 classes
a week. My focus was always, this was my career. So I treated it like a career from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a couple of stories about the early days. So Young Living actually started in 1994, right?
Correct. January 1994 is the official date. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, when I met Gary the first time, I met him in December 3rd, 1993. He came to Denver. Remember I told you a little bit about the treasure map stuff? Around that same time, I was teaching classes on becoming aware in your dreams, a fully lucid dreaming. And I had a lucid dream around that time, and I woke up saying a name out loud, because in the dream it was, remember this name. It's going to be very important to you. And I woke up saying the name out loud and promptly forgot it. And if you've ever had a lucid dream, you don't forget anything. It's just because you were fully conscious in it. I could remember everything about that dream except that name. And that day that I met Gary, there were maybe 40 people in the room. He put his arms out and he said, Kathy Farmer, I've been waiting to meet you. Gave me a big, huge hug. And I didn't think anything of it until that night when I went to bed. As I was falling asleep, the dream came back and the name was Gary Young. And he definitely has been significant in my life for sure. He had just come back from Egypt, where he'd had a profound experience in the great in the large pyramid in the King's Chamber. And this profound experiment told him all kinds of stuff that he already sort of believed, that the oils could help with emotional uses. And so as he shared that, I got excited because this was kind of like my field, so to speak. I wanted to share that opportunity with people, not necessarily to build the business, although it happened, and it happened quickly. I shared it because I felt that it would really help everyone. And as it turned out, out of that 10 classes a day, at the end of 2 years, the month prior to me dropping down the number, I was earning $6,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And then the following month, I earned $20,000. And at $20,000 a month, I said, okay, I'm going to reevaluate the numbers. And I continued to do classes and I've never stopped. But that probably working 80 hours a week was not as important.
Right. It's pretty consistent in everybody that builds an empire in a legitimate legacy network marketing company. It takes about 2 years of really focused, productive, consistent mm-hmm. exposure, effort, classes, opportunity meetings, invites, however you're doing it. Some people call it massive action. Whatever it is, it's pretty intense. And that's kind of what it takes to get through the inertia and get enough people on your team so that what you do doesn't matter so much.
Right.
And you grow into exponential growth. I want to give people that are curious just a viewpoint. So you started with the original 13. Yes. Mm-hmm. 13
yes,
people that you personally enrolled and you focused on building under them. And today, how many people do you have? 300,000?
Yeah, almost 330,000 people. just a little.
And I have the number here somewhere. If I can read it, it's in small print. But what are your monthly sales?
Well, this last month, I think it was 16 million. It's been up to as much as 18 million in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a small amount. I focus primarily when I'm teaching my leaders to teach others is that make sure that they always teach on consumables because I love our oils. But somebody can buy an oil unless you expand their knowledge. They may buy it once a year.
Right.
Well, you're not going to build a business that way. You're going to build friendships, but not a build business. And you really want to do all of it. What I ended up doing as far as everything, I definitely focused a lot on the Ningxia and the Nitro and those consumable type things because it's really easy to follow. Having people do challenges for health and different things like that. And the other thing I recommend from the very beginning to all of you guys out there, dress professionally. I know that sounds really interesting. It's like, what does stress have to do with anything? You're going to visit your next door neighbor. Your next door neighbor thinks of you one way. You come over there dressed professionally, immediately they're going to look at you a little differently.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Never let anybody walk away with your business card without having their information as well. You know, I talked to so many people. I had this big class the other day with just a couple of people that are stuck on silver, and they came to find out more information. And it turns out that the focus, the mindfulness of what they're attempting to do through leads was to jump right into the opportunity. And I said, what's your first goal here? Oh, I want to introduce them to this. And I said, no, your first goal is to build a friend.
Right.
You have to build the relationship. One way I did that is at that particular time, we didn't have computers. Gary didn't even want a computer. I got a dot matrix printout once a month, dot matrix printout. But I read every single person's name, address, their volume. I read everything that I had knowledge of minimally 3 times a week.
Beautiful.
Guess what that did? I meet them run into them at a meeting, and I'll go, so-and-so, don't you live in Greeley? And isn't that like Pine Street? Oh my God, they noticed me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they are that important. You get on the phone, you have that big smile, because that's the most important thing. And if you're doing that, if they have a question, a problem, just need some advice, they're going to call you because you have the answers that they want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So, Kathy, tell us a couple of success stories, if you will, people that you personally met and introduced to Young Living, or people that you mentored maybe at second, third level. You must have quite a few Royal Crown Diamonds on your team, lots and lots of diamonds on your team. Mm-hmm. Do you have some especially heartfelt success stories about, you know, somebody that you met, you introduced them to Young Living, and today they're a crown diamond or something like that you can share with people?
I'll tell you, the biggest thing is because I do a lot with Central and South America, and it is just so exciting and gratifying to me when you're going to a country that the average income is $300 or $600 a month, when you're seeing somebody that is a silver level can get to, you know, they're getting $2,000 a month, which is the most that any of their family and themselves have ever earned.
Right.
Those kind of things are ones we don't generally see in the U.S. I mean, right. We'll go to any of the Eric Worre things or whatever, where we're seeing people that they lived in their car and now they're this. I mean, we know they exist in the U.S., but most of us in the U.S., we're so pampered here by comparison to some of these other countries that it's that type of thing that I love to show my kids. I want them to see, like, for example, travel with your children when they're young to other countries so that they see that money's an illusion. You know, to have that kind of appreciation for what we do have here. And that's probably the biggest. It's probably the ones that you know, I'm bursting of pride when they're getting honored for this, that, or the other thing, because it's not the same length of a journey that it was for me. That was a short journey for me. I may have been struggling financially, which I was. But it was a short journey for me. I saw plenty of people around me that were successful. I knew it was possible. I believed it was possible. And many of these other countries, they don't even believe that anything beyond just hand to mouth is possible. And so it's that kind of stuff that to me is just absolutely huge. And then you see somebody, there's a little gal named Wendy. She's in Ecuador, and she'll probably watch this at some point. Wendy, when she started growing, she went a trip to Hawaii. Yeah. And you know how she built? She went door to door.
Wow.
In Ecuador. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone door to door. I have for a different, yeah. It's like, it's nerve-wracking and scary in the U.S., and I can't even imagine what it would be like in Ecuador in a much poorer environment. And yet she found enough people that saw the vision that she won trips, and she's a very delightful young lady. And, yeah, she still goes door-to-door occasionally. Door-to-door is huge.
Well, that'll toughen you up for sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. Shows. I tell people trade shows are really good. Don't go for the expensive ones until you, you know, feel very comfortable, but go for the $50 booth at, oh, I don't know, the Lions Club or whatever. But get out there, talk to people. The more people you talk to, the more comfortable you get.
Yep.
And once you start getting good at that, you know, you're teaching others and it just goes from there.
Speaking of trips, I imagine one of the richest part of your experiences with Young Living are the places that you've been around the world that perhaps you never would have gone. Can you share a few stories about some of the places that you went, perhaps with Gary? Extraordinary places?
Well, been to Europe a variety of times with him. One particular time we were doing France and he was teaching in Turkey. And that particular time we were teaching in Turkey, I had the opportunity to be invited to sit with him while he negotiated for some rose oil. That was fascinating. Imagine there were probably about 12 people in the room, very Middle Eastern type of decorations and so on, although outside was the roses and the distillery and whatever, and very modern looking, but inside had that different quality. And Gary's on one side of the room, I'm on the other, and he's smelling the rose oil and he's saying, oh, a percentage of this, it's that, and you know, there's such and such and this at that percentage. And he was 100% accurate, which just amazed the people there. But what else amazed them as well is that they kept lowering the price and he refused the rose oil. It wasn't up to our standards. And yet it was pure. We could tell it was pure, but it still wasn't the quality we wanted. That's the kind of thing that I saw from Gary firsthand. When he would teach as long as there was somebody in the room that wanted to learn. We sometimes had that meeting room till 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he'd be still going. It did not matter. People wanted something from him. He shared it. Oman's one of the coolest places that we went with Gary. We had one of the diamond trips there. And he was just like a little child wanting to share the things that he would discover. We've done Thailand and, here's a really good one. I sat in a hotel room in Hong Kong and discussed with Gary on whether or not he should buy this particular company. And at that particular time, the person that was kind of, this is many, many years ago, was kind of like running things at Young Living, saw this company come available that he thought was in line with what Gary wanted with Young Living. And so he jumped on it because Gary was on a 15-hour airplane ride to Hong Kong. And so he went ahead and bought the company, expecting Gary would be thrilled and buy it from him. And Gary was saying, and this it's perfect insight to his integrity and who he was. And he said, you know, I know this man bought this company with the right intentions. And much of that company is it's a very spiritual background. It's this, that, anything. He said, but that product that they're selling might have been great in ancient biblical times, but today it's totally off. It doesn't work with the bodies today. I could change the formula, but he said, it has a different intention, and so I won't be buying the company. But he discussed that. I mean, here's a guy who was the head of the company, willing to talk to a distributor what my feelings were. Mm-hmm. And that was very, very cool. He was always a very approachable person. It was challenging in later years because he wanted to have that relationship with everyone. And right. There were only a handful of us that could have it. He sometimes, we'd be at his home. I remember one time we were at his home in Idaho and he was sharing some information. We literally, there were three of us sitting at his feet for hours and hours. And those stories are some of the ones that I love to share with people, because that is the heart and the vision behind the company. Gary's first big event was done at his home in Alpine. They had just purchased the home. He had just married Mary. It was very, very recent there. He put the bathrooms in himself. And when we came in, he was making chili for everyone. That was Gary. He was so personable, wanted to share it. And when he talked about that he wanted essential oils in every single home in the world, he wanted it for all the right reasons. For the first 4 or 5 years that I knew him, he never once talked business. Only product.
Mm-hmm.
Only product. It was very, very typical of some of the people that I know, or that they say they're, you know, it's uncomfortable them to talk spirituality and business. But the truth is, if somebody has a need, even if that need is financial, you are integrity to share that. So
what was Gary's attitude about network marketing and about the income opportunity and about building a team? There's a lot of reputation in Young Living that, oh, we don't talk about that. That's not important. It's all about the product. And yet Gary and Mary built a team of 1.5 million active people.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, you have to have a team if you want to reach everybody, plain and simple. Right. Gary thought it all happened organically, which up to a point it certainly does. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, a lot of people during this time of social media got a little lazy. They kind of forgot that one-on-one, somebody on a phone, in a meeting, it goes so much farther than a little text. I text a lot to people. I encourage people to text to me, but I want the one-on-one. I want the hugs. You know, they say it takes 13 hugs a day to grow. Give me those hugs. It's just part of who we are as a culture. We're full of love here. And I know old professional network marketers that joined Young Living that were cold network marketers, the old type, 2-3 years later, warm, fuzzy, having Tibetan bowl ceremonies in their home. You know, I mean, I'm semi-joking, but it's true. You know, I know somebody in particular I'm talking about. Yeah, it's just, we change with this kind of company. I can't think of another company that I was as comfortable with sending people to some other leader's event and know with confidence that they were safe there.
Right.
Maybe that's, it's rare. 100% across the board, but it's not normal network marketing. That right. Old idea that you had to, you know, like spend like hours before they left. Now, remember, you're already signed up, or you are signed. You know, you don't have to do that. It was all warm and fuzzy. And when it came to Gary with building a team and network marketing, he believed in network marketing. He believed in network marketing because if you have a product that needs more knowledge to show why it's better than everything else, that's the only way to present it. He had a team of trainers instead of a team of members. And that was the encouragement. Learn so you have something that you can share. We're very fortunate. When I started, we had a trifold and labels that would get oil on it you couldn't read afterwards. We had nothing. We had the books that were written in England that said you can't put oil on your skin unless you dilute it. You can't mix more than 2-3 oils together at a time. I mean, there were rules. I was with Gary when he spoke at the International Convention for Aromatherapy in Grasse, France. And he had a wonderful presentation. I was very fortunate. I had my dear friend and personal assistant next to me, Sandra Gonzalez, that speaks 7 languages, and she's sitting next to me. And she's translating in my ear what they're translating cleaner. You know, because there was a major argument. The Germans were arguing with the French, were arguing with the German the best way to use oils. And it was just fascinating. And it's that kind of ability to be able to have these fun stuff where when people go, well, why do we hear that? And this, let's flip, it's politics. Do you like everything somebody else's politics are? None of us do. And yet, is politics that we're even in that type of field? I can say with confidence, anybody that's watching this, we have the best product on the market. We don't just say that. There is no one that was as careful as Gary to make sure this product was so premium. It was beyond anything. He didn't have to make it that good. I was there when they refused the Blue Tansy, why Valor went out of stock for years. They already had it in-house and doing the testing. He didn't get his money back. We just simply refused that oil. So it's that kind of thing. And when we share with somebody, I know people think we're selling, and they, oh, I'm not a salesperson. You're not selling, you're sharing. Share what it means to you. Why did I pick Clarity for my first oil? Why did Ray like Joy best? They're all reasons that if they think about it, they know why they chose something. And they tell their personal story of what their favorite oil was or their favorite supplement. When I started, the very first class I did was the day after I joined.
People you didn't go, know anything.
Yeah, well, I knew more than the people that I was in the class one day.
Right.
And that's it. It's like you just do it. And people will ask you questions and you may not know the answer. And you want to, the best answer in the world is, I'll see what I can find out.
So Kathy, thinking that most of the people that are watching this are aspiring diamonds, mm-hmm. perhaps aspiring executives and silvers, and mm-hmm. and you have unique, intimate, historical insight into Gary's viewpoints and his beliefs and his philosophies. What do you think Gary would tell an aspiring executive or silver or gold about what to do now, what to do this week, what to do next week, what to do for the next 3 months, what to do until they create the success that they want? If Gary was speaking to him, what do you think he would tell them?
Well, number one, he's going to tell them to talk to everybody, anybody and everybody. And then listen, you got 2 ears and 1 mouth. You want to listen to twice as much as you say. Always have some type of business card on you. Always have at least an oil on you. Something that you can put that drop of thieves on that card or abundance oil. I may sound funny, but I do go to Vegas sometimes because there's events in Vegas and I do go to the casino. I always wear abundance oil. I've gotten 4 or 5 distributors just with somebody walking by going, wow, what is that? It's kind of like I'm a walking business card at that point, especially if you're winning right then. Then it's even better. But we are walking business people. We want to wear the oils, we want to have the cards, and we want to have something so that we can get their information. They do need to remember, and Gary's was big on this too, is the first things first is you need to make that connection with them. You know, we're not going to shove the business down their throat. Why do you think Gary never talked business? He didn't, because he knew it was more important that they understand that his goal was to make their life easier.
Right.
Now, later, he became clear that he realized that the financial stuff made their lives a lot easier too. But it's consistency, it's communication. I talk to every single person in my organization at least once a week for the first few months. And when that got cumbersome, I talked as many as I could. I sent out emails. I mean, I went to try to communicate with everyone so they all knew who I was and that I was available for any questions or advice and so on. And that's some of the biggest things is to the communication. You want to make sure that you're talking to people. Gary slept about 4 hours a night. He said, we have too little time. There was so much to do. Do you think he needed to, you know, sleep 4 hours a night? Did he need to work that hard to earn the money? No, he just knew that was that important. He knew that he could have died before. He felt he had been given back a gift, and that gift was so important he needed to share it with the world. And he did. He went on and on and on. And, you know, even while he was getting health issues, got worse and worse, that he kept to continue to travel and built Fort Nelson's distillery and all kinds of stuff, even in being in pain almost every single day. But what he was doing was that important. It was changing the world. And today, this day, it's changing the world.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to somebody that, you know, barely starting in one of the Central or South American countries and hear how excited they are. I'll tell you a specific story. Gal down in Costa Rica, she picked me up at the airport one time. Her car was held together with duct tape. They had pliers holding things together. Every single bump, I thought the car was going to fall apart. It rattled like it was, you know, like held together by a couple of strings. When she bought a car.
Wow. Yeah.
That was huge. I mean, it was so huge. And it's just one of those things that just makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
Last question I have for you, Kathy, speaks to belief. Because I think you and I probably agree what holds most people back is they have this internal conversation that dominates, that sounds something like, what if I can't? What if they don't? What if it doesn't work out? What if no one listens to me? I don't have this. I don't have that. Instead of the kind of conversation that Gary would have, certainly did have, which was, I can, I will, it's done. Certainly a manifester's conversation. What would you think that Gary would tell me if I was an aspiring diamond that was struggling and what was really in my way was self-doubt? What would he tell me?
He'd probably say something like this. Richard, I see you have the skills to do this. You have proven that you can do this. You're not all the way there yet. The finish line is close. Stay focused. Study your current organization. Who in there can you work with? Who in there do you need to develop a better relationship with? Work with who you have, and every place you go, you talk and you listen. There's not a single person that you meet that you can't offer something to. Not one. Now, they may all be different. One may just need a pat on the back. Somebody else needs a product. Somebody else needs to know that they can have an opportunity to earn money. But everyone can, lives can be improved by you listening and assisting. And look at everybody that way. What can I do to assist you?
Beautiful. So I think a lesson to come from that is the people that, those of us that have a dialogue that holds us back, what if we take the focus off of us and we put the focus on other people? And instead of asking, what can we do? Maybe we ask, what can I do for someone else? What does someone else need? What does someone else want? And the only way you find that out is to ask them and listen.
True. And he shared one time, he said, the question to ask every morning is, what can I do today to improve myself and others? And at the end of the day, what have I done today to improve myself and others, to keep us accountable?
Beautiful. All right, I do have one last quick question, Kathy. It's a quick question. Maybe you have a big answer. You have created, I would imagine, far, far, far more than you ever expected or imagined in the beginning of Young Living, although you did manifest the dynasty for sure. But you're beyond money.
Oh, yeah.
And so what does the future look like for you and Young Living? What's on your vision board now? What are you building for the next 25 years?
The biggest thing is seeing the success of some of those individuals around the world. It's one of the reasons why I spend so much time in Latin America, for example. We travel a lot. And the classes that we do probably the most of right now are in Central and South America. And, for example, Costa Rica. Costa Rica just opened up officially. Well, my assistant that sat next to me in France, Sandra Gonzalez, she's a Tika. And she's the first one that brought me to Costa Rica. We went down there. We stayed with her mom, and I saw people, and we wrote programs. And we'd sneak product down there. Well, that was like 15 years ago, 18 years ago, and we're open today. And to see those individuals that stayed focused, continuing to share, the woman that bought the car, that organization is under her, directly under my friend Sandra. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, you see this expansion of possibilities with individuals that by their very nature, their culture. Costa Rica's a little different because they're more educated. But you'll see it in some of these areas that their monthly income is so low. And when they see that they can earn way over what their parents ever could earn, the excitement level is huge. And when you hear one of them being able to say, well, I just was able to leave my job and work Young Living full time. Again, absolutely over the top huge. So my focus will be more of that. On certainly our check is a report card of how many people that we've helped. And so I tell people, never be ashamed of your check. Your check is just that. It's just a report card. And so I want the report card to look more and more dramatic. But I want to understand that the reason why it's more dramatic is because of more people successful.
Beautiful. Well, you are a extraordinary gift to Young Living and the history and the future of this company. You have days and days and days worth of stories. That's a different program and a different platform. we'll just start with Road to Diamond. So those of you listening, I trust you got some amazing inspiration from Kathy. And think about her journey. Think about the things that she said. Think about perhaps maybe the one thing I would point out that you focus on is what she's talking about in terms of the way people respond to this opportunity in the developed countries is really based on appreciation. It's having a grand appreciation for what an extraordinary opportunity this is, where somebody from Ecuador can actually build a business that has a sales team all around the world, including back in North America and Europe and Asia. And, you know, they could have 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 people working for them. And they live right now in a small village in Ecuador. And what's missing oftentimes in North America, and what might be missing for those of you that are struggling with your own manifestation and empowerment, is that appreciation for this opportunity. Remembering perhaps that people died today, for sure, people died today somewhere in the world just trying to get to this country, just trying to get here for an opportunity for the safety and the freedom and the abundance that we sadly take for granted in this country because it's so easy to just get by. So I trust you'll study these Road to Diamond interviews over and over and over again. Kathy's is certainly one I'm going to listen to again and again because there's so few people out of the millions in Young Living that have that historical connection with Gary. And that's precious cargo right there. Thank you so much, Kathy. Beautiful interview.
Say goodbye
to everyone.
And
bye. Remember, everybody, the work is worth it. That's all for now. We'll see you at the next interview.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's R-U-N-T-H-R-U-R-A-N-K.com. RANK.com. We'll see you there.